Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. Hello, good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. By golly, a little cool this morning, but this is wintertime, so, you know, we can expect a little cool weather. It's not been all that bad this winter, and
I didn't mean to interrupt, but let me tell you how cold. 14 degrees, that's pretty much as low as it's been since we've been talking all winter long.
Just about.
Was colder than that 2 days ago. They got down to, I got down to 5 there at home.
Oh, wow.
And they said it's the 5th coldest Valentine's Day ever.
What was the first two?
the one before was in 91.
91?
Yeah.
Okay, there went your cane, but that's all right.
Yeah. And the cold was augmented by pretty good burst of breeze.
Uh-huh.
So we had a wind chill in Bloomington, according to the television, of -9 that morning.
Uh-huh.
Because it was 5 degrees with wind.
And that was 91, you say?
91 was back, was the one I remember before this.
Uh-huh.
What I really paid attention to is they said this is the 5th coldest day ever for Valentine's Day. But we did have 2 degrees last year on a date that wasn't Valentine's Day. And one morning in February, it was 2 degrees.
Well, I remember back in 19, around 52, 53, and I can't remember what that year it was.
That's good, because I don't remember where I was.
You don't remember?
52? Well, no. Oh, I was born in 45.
Well, golly, you're just a young chicken, man. You're not even dry behind the ears yet.
I'm just a pup. I just got my license.
But anyway, back in 1952, and I believe it was 52, in February, and I think it was the 14th day of February, down over at Clear Creek, Indiana. It was 35 below zero along the creek there. And there at home, and of course I'm not on the creek or anything, but I'm up on the hill, it was 27 below zero.
Wow.
Well, let me tell you, I remember a day, and I'm not that old, but and it wasn't even that long ago, but it was in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Probably around 95, 96, something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was 27. I had a friend out on Friendship Road.
Okay.
And I still have a friend, but he doesn't live there anymore.
Oh, you still got a friend out there?
Oh, yeah.
But he don't live there.
He doesn't live there anymore.
Okay.
Other than that, it was 20, according to his temperature gauge on his front porch, it was 27 below.
Okay, I believe that.
And that was a good February day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't remember that, and I don't mind.
Yeah.
You don't mind, huh?
I remember going out that night, and of course all the leaves were gone, and the trees were just sort of swaying slightly in the breeze, because there was a little breeze, which even made it worse, because it was 27 below.
Yeah. Right.
But I remember looking up at you could see the stars and the trees. This is, you know, pretty late at night, maybe midnight. And the trees were just going,
I was gonna say, when you get into those temperatures, that breaks things.
Yeah.
Things break.
Well, and the trees are all frozen, and they're just swaying and making noise. And it's a beautiful thing to me.
Well, it's just like them.
As long as you can live through it.
I'm glad you remember it.
When we have them snows, it's beautiful. When everything's covered with white and everything, it's a beautiful sight.
Well, just last weekend driving in, it was nice because we had snow. Yeah, it was gone by the time we was out of here.
Uh huh.
Well, and as you know, I'm an audio man from way back, and I love the snow because it gets so quiet.
Yeah, it does.
Everything just sort of quiets down and says, I'm going to sleep.
Yep. Well, plus it's insulation.
I think Don's calling in. I'll be right back.
Okay, you go ahead and talk to Don. But I'll remind everybody, this is Inside Outdoors. I don't think we even got around to that yet.
Nope,
I'm Buddy Bill, and we got John over here. And then we got Rich in there, and he's trying to get a hold of Don, and Don's calling in, I think, now. So good morning, everybody. By golly, sit back and enjoy. If you got any anything you want to know, and John's got an answer, just give us a ring, because by golly, we'll be glad to hear from you, but Don may be on the telephone now. I don't know.
Well, we got another caller.
Well, that's good.
I told him Don hadn't called yet, so he was free to talk.
Go
right ahead, caller.
Hello, it's Dan.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Dan.
How's it going, Dan?
Hey, enjoying the show so far, and you guys are talking about the cold, and I want to bring up a subject for everybody else out there listening. Sometimes we talk about places we'd like to go, and what I like to do is hike, and so I know all kinds of places, and any place that's got cliffs with water coming out of the cliffs, what I always look for this time of year, and we have had a very unusual winter, I normally wait for the 15th of January, and then this starts to happen. Everything's cold, and it stays cold. Weather like we're having now, and water starts seeping out of the rocks. And there's so many places to see this. Greens Bluff's real nice over there by Whitehall. McCormick's Creek's great. Rich talked about going down to Hemlock Cliffs down in Crawford County, which is a beautiful place.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, because of what you said, going down there in midwinter. We're talking about going down there this weekend.
Yeah. And just a little tip for you, Rich, and for anybody out there doing this, take a piece of rope and coil it under your arm and put it inside your coat. You know, 30 feet of half-inch rope or 50 feet if you can handle it. It's not much weight, but you may get into a situation where something's slippery, and I just keep it on hand because I'm by myself, you know. And I learned that when I had a bad knee, and I had to wait about 6 months before I could walk again. But I'd go out hiking alone with a knee brace, and I just kept a piece of rope with me. In case I'd get stuck, I wouldn't have to depend on my knee, because I wouldn't have been able to walk out of there.
That's a good tip, Dan.
It's kind of a backup, like having a flare or a spare tire.
I've always got a piece of rope in the car, but I don't always think about taking it with me when I'm walking.
That's right. Hey, I'm gonna bring up another subject now, and I think between Bill and John, you can come up with an answer for this. I've been working out in the country in Brown County, way out there, and it's so far from anything that it's pretty much all woods and a few farm fields, but mostly woods. And I come out of the house I'm working inside an old house, and I come out there just before dark, and every day this week, even when it's real cold, I hear this, I believe it's a barred owl.
Oh, could be.
And it makes the coolest sound I have never heard. I have heard this before, but he's up close. He's somewhere close by, and I can almost talk back to him. But he makes the sound is, I've heard people say this, they say, who cooks for you? Who cooks for you?
Yeah.
I've heard that said, yeah.
You've heard this owl then?
Yes, I've heard the owl, and I've heard that saying. Now, I didn't hear that in the call specifically, but I didn't hear it for a very long time. It just was a couple, maybe three hits, and that was it.
Couple and three hits. That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a little part to this. This is my question for you. Because I figured one of you two guys has spent enough time in the woods, you'd have heard this. So I hear the regular call is familiar, and then there's another sound that sounds like monkeys or something. It's crazy. It's like something I've heard in a nature show. I've never heard this sound before. I wonder if there's another one sitting by and they're calling back and forth the way coyotes do.
That's very possible.
I'm for you, but I don't have any way to do that.
That could be very possible. I don't know that I've ever heard the second one, but of course I've heard the barn owl, and I may have heard it and didn't know what it was too.
Yeah, the one that gets me is the screech owl when you're walking in the woods after dark.
Uh-huh.
And one of them dudes sets off and it's close to you, it yeah. damn near makes you jump every time.
It will.
Yeah, I've had that happen, John, and I think she waits for me to get up close, and then she just, it's like...
She lets out.
Knocks you silly.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of creatures out there and a lot of wildlife, every one of them's got their own sound,
I kind of figured they're sitting up on two trees, 100 feet apart, and they're just calling back and forth.
That's possible.
I'd say you're probably right. Now, hoot owls will do that.
Hoot owls, okay.
Hoot owls will call, but they're,
call back and forth.
Yeah, they'll call back and forth. They'll be one tree and one 100 yards away, and they'll go, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo.
Yeah, that's one I'm familiar with. These aren't that one.
No, they're...
Anyway, I wish I had a tape recording for you. It was really something.
Yeah, that would have been something to listen to.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that weird call you heard, because I don't have any idea, whether it was an answer. It sounds strange to me like it'd be an answer if it was that much different from the call.
Yeah, one of the things went through my head, it is real different, yeah, one of the things went through my head is that there might be an adolescent, there's an adult and then there's a teenager, I might say.
Yeah.
And the younger one is calling back and forth to the mother or the father.
Yeah, yeah. My rooster's pretty young and he's just learning how to crow, and sometimes
it would be different from the adult sound of the crow,
yeah.
Right?
Rolled a lot different.
Like he's learning how to sing.
Yeah, yeah. And he's murdering it. It ain't sounding.
Kind of what this sounds like.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get a tape together.
I wish you would. I wish you could do that. That'd be interesting.
It would be.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll get off. Don's probably trying to get in. And thanks for coming in and braving the cold, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Good
appreciate
to hear
it.
From you, Dan. Good to hear.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah.
See you later.
But, talking about birds, he was talking about the owls. This week, I've got an ash tree that died, of course, due to the drought and what have you, over the years. And And I never did cut it down because the birds, they get bugs out of it, And I looked out there the other day and I said, well, there's one of them humiliating woodpeckers.
Really?
And I know there was three of them, and I'm pretty sure there was a fourth. He flew, and I couldn't tell where it was one of the three or the fourth one. But there were definitely three humiliating woodpeckers, and I'm telling you, they was working on that old ash tree. They was getting the bugs out of it.
Oh, man. Sounds like you're driving nails.
Oh, my. They're carpenters. They're building a house. I mean, they are loud. But that's the first time. Now, I've seen a couple at a time there, but I've never seen three or four. And, boy, of course, they're a beautiful animal anyway. They're just beautiful. That's all they are to it.
We had two pair of them over on our place. And I can't verify we still got two pair because you don't see them very often when they're together.
Uh-huh. Well, boy, I tell you what, they'd be glad to hear that one coming in.
Well, there's another.
Got him. Got him. Yeah, that one of them.
It must be spring coming up.
It must be. Way them,
I think the groundhog was right.
I hope he is. I hope he is. By golly, I'm ready.
Well, we haven't had a lot of winter, but if we're not going to get any real good freeze, I'd just soon it warm up.
Winter's not over yet.
Well, we got a freeze right now.
Got a freeze right now. And, that's for sure.
15 degrees, I think that qualifies.
It's not going to go very deep.
No, but
it is froze pretty good. I mean, it's solid, pretty solid.
Hey, I brought this article in. I'm not going to read it because it's a long one, but the open houses for the forestry are going to start February 27th, and they're going to be at about 18 different forest locations. The first one's over at Owen Putnam, which is over by my place. And the only phone number in here is for that one. And it was 812-829-2462. And I'm sure they can get you the numbers for the others.
And them starts the 27th,
starts February 27th. The first one's at Owen Putnam over by my place.
Yeah, what time them start? About 6:30?
4 till 7 p.m. 4 p.m.
Oh,
till
4.
7.
Start at 4.
At least the one in Owen.
Owen County does, yeah. Well, we're going to have to take a break.
Yes, sir.
And right now. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. We'll hurry.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And looking at 15 degrees right now in downtown Bloomington, pretty chilly. It's going to increase in clouds and get up to a high of 41, which sounds pretty good. And we'll be going into the 45, 50 into Washington's birthday on Monday. Some rain and then back to being sunny by Wednesday, right around the 40s, 30s. So anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be back in just a moment.
Searching for a mess of fish, and I lost my bait.
Hey, we're back, and I don't have your mic on yet, Bill, because we got a caller calling in about the owls. So, but I'm going to put you on right now. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good morning.
Are you keeping warm over there?
Dry so far.
As far as best we can.
I love that rendition of, well, I don't know what you call it.
Mess of Fish.
Mess of Fish. Mm-hmm. Good job, buddy Bill.
No, thank you, thank you.
Dan called in about that barred owl.
Uh-huh.
The monkey-like sound is the female.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
according
to
Stokes Field Guide to Birds, that's what it says. It's a monkey-like sound, and I've heard that, and I've got pretty good creds out here because I live on Owl Creek, so we got a lot of owls out here.
So is it kind of like a courtship thing, or is they just talking to each other?
That's what it is. That's my understanding. I've heard it a number of times, and it's pretty funny sounding, but you just go, what the hell's that?
Can you imitate it for us, or is that too hard to do?
It's a little early for that. I'd have to brush up on that, but I'll try and get some. It'd be nice to have a recording of that, but that'd be a hard one to get, I think.
Well, it will be, yeah.
That surprises me that it's that different.
Yeah.
Because usually they're... Maybe the melody's different, but the sound's not that far apart on birds. That's unusual.
Yes, it certainly is. And if you want to attract what do you call it, Bill? The intimidating
the humiliating woodpecker?
Humiliating.
Get you a big old chunk of suet and put it out there on a tree somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've got them coming to the feeder. I put the little suet blocks out. And they come to the feeder, which is, it's only about 10 feet from the house.
Uh-huh.
So if you you can go to your meat department, and they used to give suet away. Now they charge for it because, you know, people are wanting it. So they charge a little bit for it. But if you get a big old chunk of that, or just try some of those suet blocks, and that'll attract them if you got any woodpeckers in the area at all. Uh-huh. They love it.
How many you got coming in to your...
Probably three or four.
Three or four?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when they hit the feeder, I'll tell you, the other birds scatter.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, there's nothing as big as them out there except for a hawk, maybe.
A lot
of hawks around here, too. I see them sitting on the electric wires or telephone wires,
uh-huh,
whatever, up there, just, you know, waiting for dinner to come by. But we've got a pretty good population of those out here, too.
Yeah.
And you guys have talked about the decline in the number of birds, and I've been feeding for probably 15 or 20 years now, and I have noticed that quite a bit. There just aren't as many as there used to be, but as far as variety goes, now we still... I mean, we got a lot of chickadees and nuthatches and and all those little birds that come. But some of the other, we get a lot of cardinals.
Well, Don Jordan, he had some figures on that, and it was a pretty substantial decline.
Yeah.
Well, it's somewhere around 28%, I think, right now.
Yeah, it was 20-something,
But in some areas, it's up to 80%.
Right.
So, of certain species.
Man.
And
wow.
So, and it's basically going back to Monsanto, you know, and putting all this fertilizer and other things. You know, it's not just them, but certainly the pesticides are a big part of it.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say something else, and now I've just totally forgotten about it.
Hey, join the club.
Well, we appreciate knowing about the monkey sound. That was kind of perplexing.
That was interesting to me. I'd love to hear that sometime, but I haven't heard it.
Well, just get out there in the woods and keep listening.
It's usually
after dusk and, you know, into the evening. You don't hear it during, I haven't heard it during daylight hours. The owls. Oh, I was going to mention, I did have one bird that you don't see under feeders very much, and that was a peacock.
Oh, yeah?
I looked out the window, and there was a peacock underneath the bird feeder.
Wow.
And it stayed around for, the dogs chased it, and it flew up into a tree. I didn't know they could fly that well.
Yeah.
But it showed up one day and was around here for about a half an hour, and then perched on somebody's roof, and the next day it was gone. We never did find out who it belonged to or where it went.
Well, I'll be darned.
That's how people lose them, is because they don't realize how well they can fly.
Yeah.
And they'll put them out in a fenced yard and think they got a peacock. Well, next day they may not.
Yeah, that'd be a disappointment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially if you give $25 or $30 for it.
Exactly.
Well, at least he was a bird. He knew where to go to the bird feeder.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, you guys have a good one. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you have a good day.
All right.
Stay warm.
You guys take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was very interesting. By golly, I hadn't heard that one.
No.
But that there is very interesting.
Yeah.
No, I've heard a barred owl. Normal call,
right,
male call.
Right.
But I have never heard that answer like that.
Well, I haven't that I ever knowed of.
It's heading into spring, I'll try every night to take a listen just to see, because I don't always go out right at dusk just to listen.
Yeah.
And that'd be interesting. I'd love to hear that.
I would, too. That'd be something to hear.
I'm still hearing plenty of coyotes. They're sounding a little further away, which suits me fine.
Well, I've not heard any around the house there for a while, but they're there. I mean, I've probably got
a gang or two of them working through the area I live in.
Well, they're pretty smart. They don't really show up pretty much where somebody's got a house or
no.
No, they're
dog or anything else, and but they certainly run in those areas where there's nobody.
Yeah, where they're protected.
I was surprised they came up around my chicken shed the other.
Well, they was wanting a meal.
Three weeks ago, they was interested in chicken.
Yeah, well, they're wanting a meal. That's the reason they was there. And
I got them run off, and I haven't seen them since. So that's good.
I keep an eye on mine because I got a fence around it, but that fence don't mean nothing to a coyote or a fox. No. Of course, we don't have any foxes to speak of anymore.
Hardly ever see one.
Yeah, they're gone. The coyotes took care of them. They've taken over their habitat and got rid of them. But I keep an eye on the chicken house for coyotes because. Of course, I got a tight chicken house, so it'd take a while for them to get in, but they could get in. I mean, you know, there ain't nothing foolproof.
Well, to bring up a new topic, but slightly in the same vein, I saw a picture on Facebook, I think it was, of a bobcat on Strain Ridge. Somebody had taken in broad daylight some pictures. It looked like it was right out by their garage. You know, or, you know, driveway, whatever. It looked like, just from the picture, of course, they didn't say where they were, but it looked like it was a little bit out in the country. You know, Strain Ridge.
Right.
Down by Smithville.
Yeah, it can be pretty countrified there. But anyway, there was a bobcat, a really big one, that they had taken a couple of pictures of. It was pretty interesting.
Well, I believe that they have a very short season now in some counties on the bobcat, because for years they were just protected, but they have increased in numbers enough that I believe there's actually a short trapping season now that allows for bobcat.
Yeah.
Well, what would you?
I'm not real happy about that because
I'm not either. I just soon see them come back and repopulate. But they're pretty nocturnal, and they also, they're smart, as smart or smarter than the coyotes, and they don't hang out where they're going to be spotted much.
Well, it's hard to find one.
Yeah. I had a small den in the woods about 200 yards from my house, and one winter I got to looking at the tracks, and it was bobcat tracks.
Yeah.
But I never did see the bobcats.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I don't know if anyone's ever seen one, but they don't really have a tail, and they've got these little little kind of stripes, you know, like you might think of a tiger or something, and or little markings on them. And boy, and they're big, and they've got the whiskers, and they're a pretty formidable thing. They're about as big as a, they're bigger than Buddy, my dachshund. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
they're about, you know, like a small dog.
They're probably 30 pounds.
Yeah,
in
easily.
That area.
Easily.
I think they, somebody was telling that they, somebody had got one that was 45 pound.
Okay.
But that's pretty big. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
but they can get big.
But well, they can get big.
That's
yes.
an adult. I think that's probably pretty pretty normal.
And they are coming back a little bit, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around. I like say I don't see them. They've been around the house there. They other people seen them and they've had collars on them and tracked them through there. One went right there. Well, went right in front of the house. They tracked it right down through the lake, but you hardly ever see them. They're very smart. They stay pretty well hid.
Well, a friend of mine told me that the DNR actually released some bobcats that were tagged or collared into the area to kind of see how they did here, and so we may get to see a few more eventually.
Yeah, they're getting thick enough now that we may you know, see one when you're driving down a country road. There may be one run across the road or be in the field or something, chasing a mouse or whatever, and you got getting a little better chance of seeing one anyway.
Well, that friend I used to I keep saying used to have that used to live out on Friendship near Friendship Road on uh-huh. Lampkins Ridge. I've seen a few of them out there through the years that would show up, you know, running across the road or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually it was in the early evening, you know, after it got dark.
But, that's the best time to see them, I think, because they'll get in a tree and just sit in the fork of a tree all day.
Yeah. Well, when I was in Africa, I got to see some cheetahs and, you know, various cats that would sit in the tree, and they'd drag their carcass up there.
Right.
And they'd sit there, and, you know, nobody else could get to it. It's, you know, like couch time, you know, just lay around with your food and look at the world.
Cheetahs are really neat looking. I really like cheetahs.
Yeah, and leopards, saw a few of those. You know, really interesting to see those in the wild.
Well, if you can get back to where you can watch them work and play and what have you,
mm-hmm.
they're a very interesting animal, that's for sure.
Well, you know, they say the cheetah is one of the fastest land animals for a short distance. And one of the reasons I like the looks of the cheetah is it looks fast. It's small-headed and long, lean body, and it just looks like a bigger version of a greyhound, only in a feline form.
Yeah, they're about as fast as grease lightning.
Yeah, they are fast. Yeah. They said they've been clocked at 60 mile an hour on short dashes.
Oh yeah.
In fact, the Egyptians are at least one of the countries. The rulers used to keep them and used them for hunting other animals.
Oh, but darn.
Yeah.
What would they be hunting, you reckon?
Well, anything that runs.
Anything?
You know, I mean, rabbits or...
Yeah, that's
or
what I was wondering.
Bigger animals, whatever existed in that same time frame, the pharaoh or whoever the ruler was would have a pair or more cheetahs and turn them loose, and they'd go after that animal. Just like a hawk. You know how some areas they train hawks to hunt?
Yeah.
And there's people in the United States that do that as more or less a hobby. But it used to be done quite a bit.
Well, you can take an animal, you know, about any animal and train it to do what you want it to do.
As long as you can get the personality. That was another thing about cheetahs that I kind of liked reading about. They could be tamed pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And be safe to be around.
Yeah, well, he'd have to be safe because I couldn't run no. fast enough to get away from him, that's for sure.
Hey, I'm going to get off topic here for a minute, but I was listening to the farm report this morning, the early farm report. I think we're going to have a break.
So well, you have about 37 seconds if you want to give a preface to that, and then we'll pick it up when we come back.
Yeah, the farm report... I didn't hear anything too extremely interesting, but they had four experts on there that couldn't agree on how the market was going to do, so that just told me that I didn't need to worry about it.
Yeah, evidently not today.
No.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, he says, so by golly, don't go away and stoke up the fire, and we'll be right back.
Are you going to get some biscuits and gravy out? You got some with you?
I think they're cooking now.
All right.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if they're ready.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yep. This is Inside Outdoors. We will be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And, you know, It's not our time to be really asking for sponsorships or anything, but if you renew your membership, you can do that online at wfhb.org. You'll help keep us keeping the doors open down here. So I just want to remind you of that once in a while, if you can, do that. And right now we got 15 degrees in Bloomington, pretty cold. It's going to get up to about 41 today, I hope, and stay there. It's going to be a high of 50 on Washington's birthday, which is Monday. And we'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. More biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Hello, we're back.
Hi. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard from Don. I guess maybe he's sleeping in today.
That's what I was getting ready to ask. What's happened to him?
We was talking about that. I was giving him the benefit of maybe going fishing, but Bill thinks he decided to take a break.
Well, I think I can just imagine him laying in his tent down there, 70 degrees. I wouldn't want to be up doing anything either.
No, not really.
He's supposed to be on vacation.
Yeah, I hope he gets a couple. I appreciate him calling in. But
yeah, he's been pretty good about calling in. That was pretty nice.
Or maybe he's out doing that fishing that he didn't get done last week.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he decided the fish needed a little quiet time. He'd try to catch them before they got away.
Yeah.
Hey, one other thing came out of that farm report. One of the guys there has gotten an letter, he said, but it's probably an email or whatever it is you young folks do, but asking about the China market for ducks.
For ducks.
Since we've had this change in our tariff situation and China's supposed to start buying more produce, this guy was interested because he heard that China ate a lot of ducks. Well, this guy researched it, this guy on the farm report show, and China eats 5.5 million tons of duck and geese a year.
Wow.
That's a lot of duck.
Well, when you consider they got 70 million people, I guess it makes a little more sense. But they raise 5.1 million themselves if everything's okay. Of course, China's got a real problem now with this coronavirus.
Oh, my, yes. I reckon they have.
I heard two different reports on that the same day yesterday. One of them was an international disease control person that said they thought it was going to be well contained within a month. And the other one said it's really growing fast and we don't know what we can do about it.
I believe that one.
Yeah. And China has lost a lot of people to it. They're admitting to losing at least 15,000 dead. But that a lot of people think there's more than that.
Well, they just don't have nothing to stop it or cure it.
Worldwide, there's over 60 million, I think, or 60,000 people that are infected.
We got them poor people out there on a ship and won't let them off of that. That'd be something to have set on a ship for.
They just brought one of those ships in. It's got 380 people on it. 200 of them have tested positive for the virus.
Oh, my Lord.
But they're going to quarantine them immediately.
So. Oh, yeah. I imagine they will, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be something to.
It's terrible.
But, you know, if you just kind of watch, and, of course, we don't hear all of it, but when them tours go out and stuff, normally, 9 times out of 10, there'll be something, some sort of sickness go through the whole ship load of people. Like flu or whatever, or diarrhea or whatever, you know. And 9 times out of 10, they'll all get sick before they get home.
Rich, you've been out of the country several times. Did you have to take a lot of vaccinations before you went? I think we lost Rich.
I didn't hear your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying, I know you've been out of the country several times. I was curious to whether you had to have a lot of vaccinations.
Oh, yeah, I certainly did, yeah. Especially going to Africa.
That's what I wondered about.
I was talking on the phone here. I'm going to see whether he can come on. Just talk for a minute, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Rich had to take several shots. I know he had to go over to Ohio to get one shot. They didn't have anything around here.
Couldn't even get it here.
Couldn't get it here. And I think he had to go, I believe, to Ohio to get it.
Hey, real quick, we got a caller here.
Good.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey guys.
Hey,
how we doing?
Good morning. I'm fighting a cold here, and I'm lazy and slept in and missed the first part of the show, but I guess you've already talked about the bobcat sightings. But
yeah, we just got done.
There was one seen yesterday, and a picture of it also on social media in the Cook parking lot.
Yeah, Rich, I think, mentioned that one.
No, I saw the one on Strain Ridge, and that was a but it was a bobcat. So
yeah,
this was in the Cook Plant 48 parking lot just on the other side of the highway.
Well, I was saying that I've read that they're actually moving some around. The DNR's placing them some spots so they can kind of track them and see how they do. But our population has increased quite a bit. It's one of the few animals that's kind of coming back.
Well, apparently, if we got more than one photo recently...
I didn't notice a collar or ear tag.
Right.
That makes me think that this is offspring of the
right
or reintroduction, which is really cool in one respect, but I don't think they're going to let one run around out in the Cook parking lot. And that kind of scares me and for the Bobcat. And now people are, you know, obviously some negative comments on social media about it rather than letting them move or, you know, you get kind of some weird feedback. And I've walked a lot of woods in my life. I have never seen a bobcat. I would. And it just, you know, it's blowing my mind to see them where they're being seen right now, I guess. But it's really a cool thing on one point, and the other part is, you know, hopefully no nuts go out looking for them. So.
Yeah, right.
Well, actually, there's been some talk, and I think I'd have to check this, but I think there's a short season in some counties now where you can trap them for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But they're awful hard to trap, so a lot of, and fur's not worth anything market-wise, so I doubt if there'll be much push on that. I told the guys I had a bobcat den about 200, 250 yards from my home in the woods, and I wasn't sure what kind of den it was. I tried not to get too close to it, but one time when it snowed, I got to get a picture of the track, and then I looked in my tracking book at home, and it definitely was a bobcat den.
Well, like I say, I can't believe I've never seen one yet in a while, but I sure would like to.
Well, it's possible if you're out there enough.
Well, you guys have a good day, and I'll leave you alone, and keep doing the good work.
Well, thank you,
thanks for calling. Thanks for calling at work.
Thanks for calling. So I've never seen them walking around, but I have seen them in my truck driving down the road and at night where you kind of come up on them quick. So I don't know. They're pretty scared of, you know, if they see you, they're going to hide.
Well, that's what I said. They're probably sharper than the coyotes as far as avoiding the population of people.
One of them that I've seen was down there, well, right there behind your house, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
There at the top of the Harrodsburg Hill.
Yeah.
On that big bluff there.
Yeah.
Up there on top, they was a big one. I'd say he would probably went 25, 30 pound, what I seen up there.
Yeah.
And then I've seen one there. Well, it'd be east of me, on Moore's Creek. I've seen one in a tree there, but he was just sitting in a tree. The one down in Harrodsburg behind your house was moving. But the one down there on Moore's Creek, it was just sitting in a fork of a tree, just laying there.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you saw him during the day, like we were saying, they're nocturnal, so he was. He was having a nap, I'm sure.
He was asleep, but I wouldn't want to get too close to him. Well, but like I say, I don't think they'll bother you. I think they'll run from you.
Yeah, I think they'll run.
Of course, that's supposed to be true of the coyotes, too, and then they've had a couple of instances where the coyotes have become pretty aggressive around people in a couple areas.
Well, they're getting cross with your pet dogs.
Well, that's,
and they're getting them coy dogs.
Coy dogs.
And then you want to stay away from them because they will.
Yeah.
They will bite. They'll eat you up.
Yeah. The only thing really that's controlled that possibility of population is the coyote, being a wild animal, has a different breeding period, and their males aren't ready to breed until they're in season, and the females aren't ready to breed, so that doesn't correspond with domestic dogs that can be on a pretty repeatable cycle all year.
Right.
Well, that's true.
And so that's kind of nature's kind of taking care of trying to control that crossbreeding.
Well, and during the day, you don't have to worry about it too much, but towards evening, I wouldn't be letting your small child run around in the backyard too much if you live out.
Not if you live out where they're at.
No. Yeah. If you've heard them, then you probably need to be careful with your kids, because that's one place that they will and have been more known to attack.
To be aggressive. Yeah, you're right.
Especially those coy dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we always talk safety, and so it's worth thinking about.
You get a pack of them coy dogs, and you've got danger ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there was a study done on our emissions. Now, I don't know how the governments are able to really track the emissions, but I guess they can get a pretty good idea. But the United States, again, came out as the lowest polluter for CO2 and other emissions. And China and Indonesia were the highest. So we're at least trying to do our part. But it's like I tell a lot of these people, I know I'm on a little different side of the fence on the warming situation. But no matter what we do, there's enough things that go on in other countries in natural disasters like volcanoes and fires. I don't think we can make too much of a dent in it by just being extremely careful about emissions.
Well, I don't know where you're getting your information, because we are not careful with emissions at all. We still have coal-burning plants and all kinds of things.
Well, I didn't say we had gotten rid of it.
No, but I mean, there needs to be, you know, some serious look at it all the way around. And, you know, it's not just about global warming, which is a convenient thing for people to throw around.
Pollution.
And what gets into your water, fracking, all these things that we're doing that I just saw again. Trump rolled another law that says, you know, it's okay for you to dump stuff into the water, the Clean Water Act, of course, was part of this, but this is specifically about, these coal companies and whatever being able to dump back into the water again, which I don't have any idea. If you think that this is going to change, trickle down and somehow benefit us, it isn't. Not the regular.
No, it's going to end.
Maybe a corporation, but it ain't going to help us.
No.
Matter of fact, it's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that he had lifted restrictions on dumping. I had heard that he had made some changes in the Clean Water Act.
Well, they're wanting to create a situation where corporations can do whatever they want again. And a lot of that has to do with pollution. And, if you look at pictures of New York or L.A., back in the 70s when it was bad, they cleaned that up, And these corporations are making tons of money, so it's not like they're going to go away or something because they have to clean up their act a little bit.
Yeah, that is a problem. I'm definitely against increasing pollution. I just like the fact that our emissions came out the least of any industrialized country. Now, that doesn't mean that we couldn't do better, Rich.
No.
I understand that.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's still... just because you say, oh, you're the least, even though you're like 100% more polluting than you should be.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter that's a convenient way of saying, we're doing a little better. And a lot of it has to do with,
it's kind of like saying we're the best at being bad.
We have tightened up things, but they're loosening up again. And, that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's the bad problem. Really.
You mentioned Los Angeles. If, San Francisco and Los Angeles don't get on top of their human waste problem, they've got more problems than industry. They've got roads and streets in town that you can't walk on because of uncontrolled, just letting people do whatever they want to do and live on the sidewalk.
Right.
And that's getting to be a huge problem. I just heard one of the guys on the radio the other day say he's never going back to Los Angeles until he sees evidence that they've cleaned that up.
Well, part of the problem is the homeless situation. There's a tent city in L.A. of 70,000.
Yeah. Holy cow.
I just heard that yesterday. I was,
gee.
And it's,
think
if you think
that.
About that, there's no running toilets, there's no water, there's, you know, it's got to be bad.
It's got to be.
No, they have actually employed some of the homeless to clean up the waste into retention areas where then the city can come by and pick it up with one of their trucks that can handle that.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Well, any way you look at it, we got to clean our acts up in a lot of ways. And, you know, I'll just go back to talking about plastics, which I like to bring up all the time. And that's hemp can do anything plastic can do. If you could grow it and harvest it, you can harvest it a lot. It grows really quick. You can do more than one crop a year. And they can do almost anything with hemp as they can do with plastic. And we need to stop dealing with plastic. I just heard Coke decided, well, you know, people want plastic, so we're just going to keep making it, you know. And it's a terrible thing. It's affecting plastics by itself is a big problem.
Well, there's ways to produce product that's biodegradable. That's not just going back to paper.
Yeah.
And your point about hemp is well made. I saw a disheartening thing on the news this morning, but I didn't hear the whole report, but a very large hemp grower has declared bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But he says he's going to reorganize, so we'll see how that works out.
Well, sorry to slow down on a kind of a negative note, but we do care about our environment and we like to talk about it.
It's not a negative note if you talk about fixing problems.
Keep your plastic waste down and recycle, and we definitely want you to do that. And that's about it for us today.
Well, thanks for tuning in this morning. We hope we've been of a little encouragement to you in one way or another. So,
thanks for calling in.
Watch for those bobcats.
Yes, watch for them and stay warm, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.